brought to you by the world-famous Hustler Casino in Los Angeles, California, and PokerRags.us. This is Sessions, Season 6, the final chapter. Can we go from rock bottom, buried in debt, homeless, and in desperate need of therapy, all the way back to flush, simply by never giving up, no matter what? I don't know, but this is the year we find out, so buckle up for one last ride. Week 45 of 50, a mean, ugly stick, the session. Last you heard, I had another long week leading up to Max Payne Monday, November 6th, 2023. Poor me. No, actually, as Albert Ellis would say, tough shit. Get ready to play, motherfucker. What I didn't mention at the end of the lead up, because it hadn't happened yet, is I was a little tilty, but I got sequestered to do my favorite thing before I went to the Hustler. And I don't usually do my favorite thing before I play poker because it kind of makes me dumb, but it might take the edge off here. And life is weird. And something Oscar Wilde said, so I already quoted Albert Ellis, something Oscar Wilde said is women are to be loved, not understood. And with that, I'll take a sip and then tell you about the lineup, and then we'll get into the hands and the after stream and all that. That's good coffee, sound guy. You're right. Pete's is great coffee. My bad. I rushed to judgment on that the other day. See, one crazy drill. This guy, I didn't realize how awesome of a character he was going to be. He was just Drew. He did wear some cool jackets. And then we called him Crazy Drew. And he's really bought into that. And he's kind of branded it with his hype videos and his behavior on stream, which is just fantastic for a show. And Ryan Feldman kind of made me see the light with him. That this is just someone we get on whenever he wants. And he likes the one seat because he can see the cards best there. And we have really good banter, him and I, and that's why I'm in the two seat. And my name is DGAF. That's just what my parents named me. Here's how it went down, I'm told. So my mom was in the hospital. My dad wasn't around, obviously. And she had me, and then the doctor said, great, you know, it's not the most beautiful baby we've ever seen, but it is a baby, and what do you want to name him? And she said, don't give a fuck. And so doctor looked at the nurse. Nurse wrote it down. And that's how that went. I'm in the two seat. In the three seat is Dr. David. And it says DGAF psychiatrist. He's not my psychiatrist. He's my friend. And one of the angels who was there when I hit the bottom to help lift me up. And I worked for him and stayed with him and learned a ton from him. And yeah, he's been very important in my life and in this comeback story. And of course, if you are a patron, you have access to Solicited Advice podcast, my first podcast, and I did that with David. And he's filling in for Randy. Magic Randy was scheduled to play, but something came up. And this guy is just fucking cool, man. There are a lot of people that I message because I run Mondays and Thursdays, and a lot of people who are unresponsive or a pain in the ass, high maintenance. Randy's the opposite, and he might be the most successful of everyone that plays on those shows. He's always responsive, and he said, hey, would that really mess you up if I couldn't make it? You know, he probably has something important going on. I said, no, man, no worries. And so Dr. David takes his spot. In the four seat is Nikos, someone I've become friends with. This is how it goes when you play poker the way I do. This is not how it went back in the day when I was a new pro. No. Some of the rich guys would like me because I was, you know, kind of living their dream, just waking up every day, working out, studying poker, coming in to punch the clock, playing great, running hot, winning, going home, having a couple beers, reviewing my session, getting sleep, and doing it all over again. That was the dream back in 2007. Kind of, yeah. And so some of those guys liked me and they'd give me, you know, tickets to Dodgers game or whatever. But I wasn't friends with any of them because we were different. I was there to work. They were there to have fun. Once you switch that and you align yourself with what the other players are doing, I'm there to have fun. We're all there to win. We all want to win. But I'm there to have fun. I'm not grinding. I am not even close to grinding. I purposefully play a bunch of hands that I wouldn't play if I was just trying to win the maximum in that session. And I don't even follow the action. I don't even know who raised half the time. And Nikos is someone that wanted to play on the show and tried the different nights. And then after 1 week of trying the different nights, said, I'm just playing Monday and Thursday with DGAF and the Tuesday game as well with Luda. So, and we've hung out a lot and gone to dinners, and he's just fun and he's got a great story. He's someone who came up. A lot of these guys are people who went through what I've gone through or have had a similar journey, including Crazy Drew. And he said he went busto and it took him 10 years. And now he's incredibly successful. And Nikos had to build up too. And so did the 5-seat, DK. Couldn't get anything going. And then he got everything going. And DK is the GOAT. He's always in the 5-seat. In the 6-seat is someone I hope becomes a regular on Max Payne Monday. You need to have a woman star on the show. And the chat certainly loves Sophia. Very pleasant. And she's a lot of action as well. And I hope she likes it. I don't think she's ever run that well on the show. That's a problem, is a lot of the women just haven't run well and they got whacked. But happy to have her in the 6. And Nate Hill in the 7. That's kind of his spot. This guy is funny. He's an old soul for a young man. And he's just kind of a throwback. And he's just great. And I bust his balls a lot. And some people think I'm being serious. I never am. If I tell him he's terrible, I would never. If I really think someone's terrible or plays a hand terribly, it's very unlikely that I would mention it. If I think they're winning in the game, I'm always going to bust their balls. And that's Nate Hill in the 7 seat. In the 8 seat, Nick Vertucci, co-owner of the show. He and I like the end seats, so we kind of alternate on Mondays and Thursdays. And seat 9 is JJ, also known as Key Fob King. This guy's very cool. He's trying to win, but he's having fun in there, and he handles the swings very well. And there you go. The stage has literally been set. So I'm going to take another sip of this Pete's coffee that Sound Guy made me get instead of Starbucks, and then we're going to get into the hands. First hand, I raise. Ace 10. And it comes King 9 deuce, and I don't even pretend to have a king. You know, the whole, this is better for my range, preflop raiser. Not in this particular lineup. If you build a lineup so great, which I'm going to pat myself on the back, this one is fucking so great. Well, all that shit goes out the window. Like, this flop's better for my, no. You don't have a pair, you check, and you fucking fold. And someone has 9-5. They ain't folding that shit, and that's fine. And that's a good adjustment. That's a different way of playing bad. It's playing bad in theory, like, oh, you're just only going to bet when you have it? Pretty much, in a multi-way pot. Even if the flop favors your range as a preflop raiser, pretty much because they just don't fold. So it's a nice little adjustment. Theoretically playing bad, but in practice playing well. And then I raise, and people call, and Sophia 3-bets the button, and I call with 8-6 suited, and then David goes ham. He makes it like 1,400 or something. And I was suspicious when he did this. David looks like he doesn't bluff, but he bluffs, and he had 8-6 offsuit, and that was a nice play. He called my raise preflop, and then he assumed correctly that she was very wide in her button 3-bet, and he put in that that four bet, the flat and then four bet and got it through. Then I get ace king. I three bet. It comes ace 10, four, two hearts. And I bet a little bit too small. I actually do play small ball on the flop pretty often. And I need to just bet bigger. And that's a leak. And I like having leaks. It keeps me, you know, in good graces with all the other players that have leaks. But this is one I'm just kind of, I could plug and I could just bet a little bit more with my, you know, value hands on the flop. Just make a little bit more money and wouldn't hurt. And Safia is really playing different than the first time. The first time I kind of ran her over. I thought she was a little bit scared money. It's the opposite on this evening. And that's how it goes in poker. People go through, I don't know if it's a financial situation. For many of us it is. But sometimes they're playing kind of tight and nitty. And sometimes they're fucking going for it. And that's cool to see. The next thing that happens is a double board no limit hand. We do double board bomb pots to pay collection. And we usually do PLO. But since Crazy Drew's there and he says he doesn't know how to play those, I said, we'll alternate. We'll do a double board no limit and then a double board PLO. And this actually favors me. I am good at thinking on my feet or coming up with strategies on the spot, whatever the fuck it is. Because no one plays these, and I'm able to figure out that my top pair, no kicker, which is going to be good on one of the boards. And it might be good on the other one, because if the way the person bet, they either made two pair on the other one. If they made two pair on the other one, they can't beat queen high on this one. Or, yeah. If they made two pair on the one where I have the queen, well, then they can't beat queen high on the other one. So I made a nice call there against Danny and we chopped it, if that makes sense. And this is, what I'm talking about is, after high school, we played a lot of games, a lot of guts games. And we would come up with different rules. And I was good at anything new. Because once something's been around, it gets studied, it gets solved, it gets taught, and all that. Well, I'm not doing any of that shit. I like to think. And I was pretty happy with that, that I just knew, well, either my pair no kicker is good on this one, or my queen high is good because of the way he bet. Yeah, maybe he can beat my pair, but if he can, he can't beat the queen high. And it's kind of cool. I think people overvalue hands in double board PLO bomb pots, and they undervalue in no limit double board bomb pots. And yeah. Then I had a really weird spot where I raised with ace jack of spades. Got a lot of callers, and it came 10, what did it come? 10, 4, deuce with two spades. I flopped a nut flush draw. And here I was going to rep the overpair and just barrel. And I bet, and David called, and then Safia raised. And she had already stacked off bluffing. I really didn't think she was light here. I didn't think I was doing great against her range. But what are you going to do? You get the nut flush draw in two overs. And there's a chance she could have top pair with a flush draw or a different combo, in which case you're ahead if she has like 5-6 or 5-3. And so I didn't like it. And maybe even if we're not on stream, maybe I just fucking fold because I just didn't like the range I thought I was up against. But you got to ship it in if you're on stream. And I did. You know, it's not that much money. It's maybe 150 big blinds or whatever, which in a normal game is a lot, but not on stream. And David actually had 6-5 of spades. So he flopped a combo and he folded and she called with the 10-9 of spades. And so I'm in trouble, not in a ton of trouble. I could have run into a set, which would have been worse. But yeah, I hit a jack and it's nice to run hot. And let's take another sip of coffee. It's just one of those hands where I don't always like decide to rep the overpair multi-way. But I just decided here because I had a great backup plan. And then I got raised and like, I just didn't think she's doing this with a naked flush draw is the point. And, or just one pair, but she had a flush draw and one pair and, you know, she was slightly ahead, but I got there and that's fortunate. And I didn't do anything great there. And I just didn't, I wasn't even happy at all when the action got back to me on the flop after she raised. I just was like, ugh, I have to go all in and I'm taking the worst of it. But, you know, I wasn't in too bad a shape and I got there. Then I just did something weird. I raised with King 10, a bunch of people called the king, King 4-3. I decided to check for weirdness. I just wanted to get weird in this hand. I wanted the turn to come out and then me, you know, maybe it was definitely rainbow. And so the turn maybe will bring a flush draw and now I can raise and get value from worse that thinks I have flush. I usually bet. I didn't. And then the turn is a 5. Okay. And Danny bets 200. Safia calls. I'm going to raise. But now Nate Hill raises. He raises. Okay. This should be a value hand. If you're going to bluff DK, well, if that's your strategy, that's wild. That's fucking wild. I don't know how this guy makes it to the end in Fortnite if that's his strategy. But on this night, he did some weird shit. And starting a bluff against DK is weird shit. And anyways, I folded. I figured King 10 had to be no good. But it was. Nate had Jack Deuce, which is fucking wild. And he binked the straight on the river. And good for him. And then we're playing the 7-deuce game. And I had 7-deuce off. He has to be 7-deuce off suit. And I 4-bet. I prefer to not 4-bet with this hand. But against people who are 3-betting liberally, I'll do it, right? And I'll just, you know, I'll win on a lot of flops and whatnot. Well, I did it against key fob king. And I actually flopped a pair. And so I bet a quarter pot. I could have bet a little bit bigger here. I probably should just be betting a third pot, but whatever. I bet a quarter pot, and he called, and I was just hoping he had, like, ace-queen or something like that. And the board just ran out, 4 cards straight on the turn, and he checked. And I guess I could bet here again, but you're really value-tying yourself if he has just a hand like Jax. He's not folding to you in a 4-bet pot. He's not worried about a 6 making a straight or whatever. And I just thought I had the best hand, and the pot was big enough. And I'm going to get 200, I'm going to get 900 more when I get to turn it over. And I did. And we just checked it down, and my pair was good. And the chat is saying, like, why is this guy so scared money? Fucking idiots. Sorry. I hate to say it. I am not scared money. I didn't bet the King 10 because I just wanted to get weird. And here I did bet. And I didn't think I needed to bluff. And I was right, you fucking idiots. Sorry, I had to get that out. I love a lot of people in the chat. Some are fucking really annoying. Now I have King 8. And that's called Kate. And it comes Queen 8, 5. And we all check. And the turn's a 3. That's a great card for me. I bet 200 into 300. And everyone and their mother calls. The river is a queen. Okay, hopefully someone will bluff this card. And if someone did have a queen, I'll be able to read it. So I check, and someone bet. Oh, Nikos bets 300. Danny calls. Nate calls. And I decide maybe Nikos has a queen, but he probably would have bet bigger. And I go for the min raise. Check min raise to 600. I decide King 8 is good. There's a chance someone has Ace 8, but I don't think so. And I get called in 2 spots, and my hand is good. King 8 on Queen 8, 5, 3. Queen. That's max value. That's knowing what they have. I told you my friend, one of the best players I ever played against, Pete, Chicago Pete, was talking about buying yachts. He would get stuck in traffic and he would try and find a helicopter to come pick him up. He was crushing. And then one year he couldn't win. Fucking, he couldn't. He was in the abyss the whole year. And one night, the Venetian, when he just tried to run a bluff on someone, he said, "DGAF, just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win." And I just nodded my head. Sometimes, just because you know what they have, you get to win max value. And that's what I did with the King 8. The min check min raise You know, if you think someone's going to give you a bluff, you can go bigger. But also, if you go bigger and you run into a better hand, that's reverse implied odds. I was really happy with this play. And it's just kind of goofy and funny. And then I raise with 10-9. It comes ace, jack, 8. That's good. I bet. Nate calls. And the turn's a brick. And I do barrel here. I do, you know, use my range against him. And he folded a jack. And next note is Safia is going bananas. She was, and I didn't see that coming. She played like pretty conservatively the first time and the second time, and not this time. It was just this weird moment at the table where Nate raised and Kefob King 3-bet and Nico's called and Nate 4-bet, and I don't know what Kefob King did. He might have called, and Nico's snap went all in. So he flatted the 3-bet, snap went all in, just, and he just was so certain, and Nate started laughing and put in the call. Nate had queens. Nico's had ace-8 of diamonds, and there was just this weird fucking energy. And Nico's is on some substances. He's on mushrooms. He's on edibles. He's drinking. He's on one more thing. But he just fucking knew, and he flopped the nuts. It was just fucking weird. Where ace-8 of diamonds for a lot of money, and it just came 3 diamonds. It was fucking weird. And that might sound like some bullshit, but I'm telling you, at the table, you just felt his confidence. And it was fucking weird, man. It doesn't make sense logically, right, or rationally. But he just fucking knew, and we all kind of did, and he just flopped the nuts, and then he got Nate's chips. Fucking weird. And then he made a boat against me, or I made a straight. Flush also got there, and he min-raised down the river. That's a good sizing. I paid it off, and whatever, I lost 1,000-plus there. Then I made trips, and I did not bet the flop. Sometimes I bet the flop with trips, and that hasn't been working out for me very well because no one's... Sorry, I gotta stretch. Some guy edit that out. I don't know why. Because it seems like every time I bluff when it's a paired flop, I get called. But every time I have it, they fold. Well, I just decided to check here. I think it was 10, 3-3, and I had ace-3 offsuit. And the turn was a 7. Now there's a flush draw, and now key fob king bet, and I raised, and he called, and then he bricked, and that was it. But I still won decent... And it's nice to flop trips. And then I just got a little weird, and I raised the jack 4. I'm in the 2-seat. I got the jack 4 offsuit. I raised. I flopped bottom pair. I bet someone folded the best hand. Nate called with jack 4 as well, and then I just bet again, and he folded. And off to a good start. And then I got another semi-bluff through. And then I did something I never do. I flopped the fucking set on stream. Set of deuces. And... it came 10, 7, deuce, 2 clubs. I bet, got a couple callers. And the turn was the ace of clubs, which can kill the action. But I bet again, got a call, and the river was an offsuit queen. I bet again. I just didn't think anyone had a flush. Kind of had that like twinge in my head. No one's got a flush here. Don't worry about it. Just bet 3 times and got max value. And then I lost $1,300 with ace jack of spades, where I raised... a bunch of people called, and it was a perfect squeeze spot for Nate. He made it 13. He was too deep. If he was less deep, I would have jammed. That hand is so good, ace-jack suited. But he's too deep for me to jam in case he has me crushed. And he had me crushed. He had ace-king. And Nico's had king-queen, and Danny had 10-8 offsuit, and 10-8 offsuit won, as it should. Even after that, I was up $15,000, and this is a problem, something for me to acknowledge. It didn't feel like a lot. And that's just being numb to the stakes and the swings, the upswings at least. And it speaks to my financial situation and how desperate I am to just fucking come up. And when, you know, you're in makeup, you know this 15K is not getting you out. Well, you should still be very, very happy. And I knew I was running hot, but it didn't feel like a lot. And that's just the story. And that's what I try and do in this podcast, is tell the story. And someone recently canceled their membership on Patreon, and they said, it's too depressing. You've lost your passion. I can't listen anymore. And I don't know. I get that it can be depressing sometimes, but sometimes shit is dark and rough and I'm low in energy in every other way. And yeah, that if that's what's going on, that's what goes into this microphone. But I think it's a mistake to say no passion. Maybe one drop, I'm burnt out, I'm tired, I'm delirious. But I've got passion, man. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here right now. Just fucking battling, just Sisyphus, just, you know, keeping that fucking boulder in its place and just trying to get up the hill. I think I have passion. And I don't know, it's just an interesting little exit survey. And I appreciate exit surveys because, yeah, maybe last drop or the drop before that, I didn't. And I don't know. I definitely do today. And I'm going to pound some coffee and get even more passionate. Okay, so up 15K doesn't feel like a lot. And then I miss the world in double board PLO and lose 2,000. That shouldn't even be notable because I said in double board no limit, people, they undervalue their hand strength. And in double board PLO, they overvalue in general. But with a 2K cap on and when there's 900 in the middle to start, you need to be getting in there with a lot of hands and miss the world. Okay, was up 15 and then I lose that too. That's okay. I'm still up 13. Top pair, no kicker. I get max value. And then I pocket nines where I just flatted Nate to keep other people in. And then I just led as an overpair and I won. And then I got seven deuce offsuit again and Nick three bet and I four bet. And it came ace, king, deuce. And I just really hoped that he had a pocket pair, queens or jacks. And I bet once and he folded queens. And that's a terrible flop for queens, obviously. And he thought I had ace king. Yeah. So that's very fortunate. Where if it comes ace XX, I have to bet twice. But if it comes ace king, no, he's just going to fold to the one. And then I had ace queen. And it came jack nine deuce a million ways. And someone bet and I folded. And someone in the chat said, why is he folding ace queen on jack nine deuce? What the fuck are you talking about? That's not a great flop for ace-queen in a multi-way pot. You just fold when someone bets. And then I had kind of a weird hand where I called Nate with king-seven of hearts, and I just led with nines as an overpair, and it came 8-5-3-2 hearts. I led again. He called. The turn's a queen. I led again. He called again. And the river was a seven, giving me a pair, but it brought in a backdoor club draw, and I just checked now. I got showdown value, and he bombed it. And it doesn't rep much for him to bomb here. And his sizing reeks a little bit of, I want you to fold. But also, so many times in our history, I've been like, well, this is a little bit big. Why would you go to the size for value? You're not repping a bunch. And I folded. And then when I looked back, he always had it. He always had it. And so that was my last thought. That was, you know, I thought about making a hero call, and then I was like, no, he just always has it. Well, he didn't. He ran a bluff. He was really elaborate on this night. And maybe I should have picked up on that when he tried to bluff DK, and he had the jack deuce on the king 3-4-5. That's wild in a multi-way pot. And yeah, so maybe I can find the call here if I just adjust better to like, Nate's really fucking creative tonight, and good for him though. He floated twice and then got the big bluff through. Most people would check back ace high there, thinking you have a missed draw, but he just kind of played the hand perfectly against my hand. I guess it was really weird. And then I had a cool play where Nate raised and I called with queen seven suited, and Danny called. And it came queen 9-7, so top and bottom. Nate led. I just raised right away. And Danny called, and I just got that twinge that he has a draw, okay? And Nate folded. I think he had jacks. Nate folded. So the turn is a 9. You know, not a great card for queen 7 on queen 9-7 because now you're counterfeit, and any queen beats you. And middle pair now becomes trips. And it doesn't matter. Danny had maybe 1.5x pot. And I just was so certain that he had a draw, and I'm not going to, so I'm thinking, okay, how would I play against a draw here? Do I want to milk a draw? Do I want to give him just the wrong price to try and hit a, club? No, I'm not going to try and milk Danny. He's off to a rough start. I'm just going to send it in for value protection. It's just kind of a cool play. It's like you have queen seven on queen nine seven, and the turn's a nine. It doesn't matter. If you know they got a draw on the flop, that nine, and it couldn't have been like 9x of clubs. Well, it's just, you just send it in there for the 4K and end the hand. And I told him I didn't want to try and milk you. And I was up 17,000, still didn't feel like much. I guess because I'm in makeup and I really got to work on that. It would be nice if I was less cognizant of how I'm doing all the time. And yeah, because it does affect my play. I chase unless I'm really feeling like I'm up a ton. But at 3:45:27 is my worst play. So 3 hours and 15 minutes into the 5 hour show, I limp call with 6-4 suited. That's actually perfectly fine in a game like this. There's 15-80 in the middle, and it comes 9-6-4, two spades, and I check. No. Fucking start betting. Yeah, if someone has an overpair or top pair and they bet it, like the preflop raiser, which was Danny, you can check raise and get all the money in good. Yeah, but also, like, just lead here. It's just, there's enough out there, and there's too many opponents. It's not a heads-up spot. That's different. A multi-way, I like leading. I didn't. So that's the first strike for me in this hand. Then everyone checks. The turn's a seven. You know, not the best card, not the worst card. I think probably an ace would be the best card because someone probably turned, you know, top pair. And then you could check raise that card. Seven, now I lead. The game, the board is getting really wet. And I get called. I lead 620 into 1580. I get called by David and Nikos and Nate. Three callers. River's a nine, counterfeiting my hand. Well, no one had a fucking nine on the flop, so no one has trips. So I'm going to represent trips because I was the one who could have a nine on the flop. I checked early, and, you know, and then I led the turn. And anyways, David turned a set, but it just turned a set and he called. I led 1840 into 4,000, just trying to rep the nine, which I knew no one had. And but I couldn't beat the other pairs. I couldn't beat if someone turned a seven, if they had like, you know, 7-5, 7-8, something like that, pocket eights. But David turned a set because he's a super pro and he called. And it just, it's not bad because he turned a set. It's just bad because I should have bet the flop when it's so multi-way. And then the turn lead is reasonable and the river is just a shutdown. And maybe it's like a, maybe it's like a check raise or something if you really want to get freaky. But no one's betting there probably. It's just a check and fold. Or a check and, you know, lose is what it is. And so I spewed off a little bit there. My worst play, for sure, on this night. Here is a frustrating hand. I call 340 because I'm in position against Nate. And he's squeezing quite a bit. And the flop comes. I have queen eight of clubs. I call 340. Heads up in position. Let's go. 8-5-2. Two diamonds and a club. That's not a bad flop for my hand at all. That's top pair. Good kicker. He bets 300. I don't know about that, Nate. I raised to 900. I'm going to charge his fucking bullshit right now. I'm going to protect against overcards. If he has a draw, I'm going to charge him. If he has, he could have a worse hand here that he's going to bluff catch with. He calls. The turn is a jack of clubs. I think if it doesn't give me a flush draw, I likely bet again. But since it gives me a flush draw, I'm happy to check back and gamble, right? Maybe he'll bink a pair on the river that gives me a flush, something like that. The river's a four, just a pretty insignificant card, and he checks again. Okay, well, now I'm going to go for value against ace high. You know, if he thinks I had diamonds and I'm, or like 7-9, something like that. And maybe he just has like a hand like pocket sevens himself. And I go for some thin value. And he calls, he has king jack offsuit. What the fuck is Nate doing on this night? The jack deuce was insane. the double floating. I think he had ace jack against me when I flopped the flush draw. Pretty insane. And this is pretty insane. So I think Nate might have just been on one on this night. And I ranted. I'm joking, of course. And he's laughing. I don't think he's taking it the wrong way. But I know some people on the internet took it the wrong way. Like I was being a jerk to him. And no, I'm just, that's what you do. Like the people who are winning in the game, you give them shit. And you give everyone shit. And they know it's like a fake rant. But we're downswinging now in this session. And then this is a weird fucking hand. I 3-bet Crazy Drew, isolate with ace queen, parking lot. And he calls, and it comes three small cards. And he bets 500. And Drew is impulsive. Crazy Drew is impulsive. And he just bets so many times in our history. He just has like ace 10 offsuit, king jack, fucking anything weird here. He bets 500, I call. The turn pairs the bottom card, the deuce. He bets 1,000, I call. And the river is just a break, and he bets 2,000, which I don't know what he's targeting. Because, but he just happens to play the hand perfectly against my hand. It doesn't make sense. So when it doesn't make sense, I pay it off, and he had pocket nines. So I lost the maximum, and he won the maximum. He won 4K there. But it's not, you know, I was the preflop 3-better. And so when it comes three small cards, if you got an overpair and you want to lead, sure. And the bottom card pairs, if you want to lead one more time, you can. But on the river brick, what are you getting value from? Only someone who's going to hand, only like, by accidental leveling, are you getting value? And he did. And people think, I'm just tilted. I mean, I was a little tilted, but that's just how I play poker. If shit doesn't make sense and people have a history of just punting to you with fucking king high and shit, I'm going to call it down. That's not a value line. It's not. It just really isn't a value line with nines. When you open, you get 3-bet, you lead as a slight overpair. The bottom card pairs, you lead again, and the river's a break, and you lead again. That's not a value line. It just worked out as one, and now I'm up 7,000, and it feels like the end of the world. And this coffee is not the end of the world. So I got Pete's, Brazilian, medium roast. It's all right. Okay, only up 7K. Now I lose to a rivered 2-pair against Key Fob King. This looks like more tilt. Oh, he's punting it off. He's torching it. Because I had sevens in a 3-bet pot. And it came king, queen, 5. And I think I bet, and he called. And the turn was a brick, giving me a flush draw. And he checked back. And the river was an offsuit 6. And now he bet. And so when he checked back the turn and then bombs the river, it's one of two things. It's a bluff. It's a rich guy bluffing. Or it's a rivered 2-pair. And I don't know. Like, we're on stream. People bluff all the time. So I think the call is fine with sevens, and he had king 6. And the novice watching is thinking, well, dude, you lose to any king. Yeah, but he's not betting any king. That's the fucking problem. He's only betting if he rivered 2-pair, and he is bluffing quite a bit. It's debatable. And I heard Charlie say this is a very underbluffed spot. Yeah, on the casino floor it is. Not on stream. Nothing's underbluffed. And yeah, I don't know. It's going the wrong way. Now I'm really sad because I'm only at 5,000. And I have king 10 of diamonds. I just get stuck in a four-way bloater, 1,100 each. Where Safi had king 6 suited and she just lost her mind, and I have to fold the flop. And now I'm only up 4. But really, this feeling is pain inside of being up early in a session and then losing. And it really speaks to my financial situation and the crazy grind I'm on. And It just doesn't feel good. And you got to do some breathing and some rational emotive therapy, or you might call it cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's like, fuck, man, I need a big win. Well, you don't need a big win. You want a big win. That's different than needing a big win. And then I whiff for a little bit, and then I squeeze with 9-4 suited, and Safia just happens to have queens. And when it's going bad, someone just always has a hand they can go all in with. And I'm up 3,000 now. Poor me. And then Danny raises and he just has like 2K. And I just take the, I have pocket eights and I'm happy to get in. And he had ace deuce suited. He might have 3-bet. And I might have 4-bet shoved. He had ace deuce suited and I held. Now I'm up 5 again. And I have ace king and I win one. And then I have 2 pair in a nothing pot. And I get max value, making it look weird. And then I make a straight, a 4-card straight with queen 3. Just, it was ace 5-4 deuce. And I bet and DK raised the river with an ace. And it was weird. And so now it's going my way again, suddenly. And now I'm up pretty good again. And then I get queen deuce against Vertucci in position. Queen deuce suited. And it comes ace, queen, queen, and he bets. And I call. And I just, you know, I need the turn to just be anything. But it's an ace. And he checks. And I have a boat now, but I'd prefer to just have 3 queens. And I check back, and then the river is a jack, and he bombs it, and I snap fold my boat. And he had ace jack. So he hit the 2-outer on the turn. That's fine. I played 54% of hands. I've been in the 50s for a while. And that's cool that I'm feeling comfortable only playing a little more than half of hands. If I'm on a super heater, that number will go up. But I got a win right now, and that's reasonable. And I won $12,000 on stream. Not bad. I'll take it. I'm still in makeup because last week was a nightmare. But this is the watch party. The first Monday of every month is a Max Payne Monday watch party. So we're going to take this game upstairs. And we're going to keep playing. And upstairs is shorthanded because a lot of the winners like to leave. And I'm running pretty bad. And so it's not long before I'm rebuying. Ugh. Fuck, man, I was up 17K and now I'm stuck. Poor me. But I'm going to keep playing and I don't feel good. I've been drinking too long. I'm not a kid anymore. But we're playing four-handed, no limit. Some rounds of PLO, some PLO bomb pots. And I'm really fucking good at four-handed. And especially the end of the night when I'm out of angst. I can't do anything but focus on the game, and I played really well four-handed, just in the zone, totally at peace, somehow, and it just happens at the end of the night sometimes, and I didn't run well, but I got every single bluff through, I made every single correct call, and I won $13,900 overall. Very swingy session. Just another night in my life. But that's good. It's a W, and it's gonna chip away at the makeup. And then final sip of coffee for this one, and then we'll run through my goals, and then I'll explain the title of this week of sessions. First goal is 0. My goals are 3 numbers, 0, 35, and 219. I would like to have 0 debt by the end of the year. That was the goal. And we started at 112 and a half. And remember, it was at 250,000 or more for years. And, well, it's at 193.275. So, you know, hit a rough patch. Really, the Jack 4 shit threw me off, and I didn't handle it well. And every time I went off stake, I got whacked. And so it's pretty high. And if you listen to this podcast, this is the end. I thought this was the final season. I thought I was going to finally get out of fucking debt, finally make my comeback in life this year. It's not going to happen. Barring a miracle, it's not going to happen. There's going to be a season 7 of sessions, and maybe, I'm not going to say that's going to be the final season, but hopefully it is. Hopefully I fucking climb out of debt next year. And that's the thing is, if you have heard me burnt out or occasionally lacking passion, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to work so hard, get this momentum, get this hope up, and then get whacked. But you got to keep going. And it's okay to feel like shit as long as you can rally and get that fire lit again inside. So I got work to do, paying interest, and that doesn't help. And yeah. Oh, I forgot I owe some interest on this since I won 12K on Yeah, I won 12K. I owed someone $120. But anyways, I'll do that right after I'm done recording. 35. I want to win 35 times on stream. I've won 27 out of 48, and it feels like it's been a not so great year. And those are I have high standards. I expect to win often on stream. I build the best games in the world. I work on them 7 days a week, the lineups. So, and I VPIP, my brain's out, and do other things. I concede EV all over the place. So I kind of feel like I've earned it to win a lot. And I haven't won a ton this year, but I've won. Last one's 219. I wanted to weigh 219 pounds. And not going to happen either. I started the year my heaviest ever, 257.7. As mentioned, everyone calling me a cheater on the fucking internet fucked my head up. And people that think they represent the poker community, there is no poker community. There's a poker world, and there's people that say they're spokespeople for the poker community. There's no fucking poker community. It's a dog-eat-dog world. There's some cool people in it, and you'll make some good friends. You'll get burnt by a lot of people. But anyways, that fucked me up. Came in at my heaviest ever, 257.7. Just weighed myself this morning, 259. Yikes. But, you know, it's the story. I haven't had any energy or time to even lift weights, much less, you know, go hike or anything like that. So, yeah. And this one's called A Mean, Ugly Stick. And I came to the realization this week or the end of last week that I'm a sucker in many ways in life. And I've been a sucker my whole life. But you lick a sucker for all he's worth, that's what you're left with. A mean, ugly stick.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions.
This is the end.
Head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer to get the entire story. When you sign up for all the content, you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. I hope to see you over there. Otherwise,
I'll never look into your eyes again.
Just kidding. That shit was dramatic. But seriously, we are building something beautiful at DGAF Community. No nits, which means no parasites, no trolls, no haters, no judgment. Just two-way streets, equality, acceptance, and lots of fun. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?